And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right, blanketing North Alabama. I'm talking about this show was down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville. We got from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. We got parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Hey, listen, there's some breaking news. I'm looking up on the screen right now, actually on CNN on the left screen. That's fitting. CNN's on the left screen. But however, Congressman Michael Waltz, former Green Beret, member of the House Armed Services Committee, is on CNN right now announcing that the House has just passed the NDAA, the Defense Spending Bill, and in that, they scrapped the COVID vaccine mandate for military service members. So that's big doings. Now, what I don't know is, are they going to reinstate people who lost their careers? Are they going to provide back pay? I don't know. But right now, the initial word is the House has passed a budget that would scrap the COVID vaccine mandate, still has to go through the Democrat-controlled Senate. Boy. The Democrat-controlled Senate and then on to the president. But that is the first shot in the attempts to fight back against the COVID vaccine mandates now that Republicans have more clout in the House. And by the way, I'll point out, too, if that passed right now, it also passed during a time that technically Democrats still control the House. So that being said, the NDAA may indeed do something about the vaccine mandates. Okay. Second piece of breaking news, I'll tell you, just came out a little while ago on the right screen. We saw it up on the Fox News had a story that the new Oregon gun laws that are so oppressive to Second Amendment rights that require you to get all kinds of classes and instruction and special licensure just to own a gun of any kind. Oh, by the way, you also can't have more than a 10-round magazine. Good luck with that. That a court has now enjoined that law, and it will not go into effect, at least for right now. I don't know if they've blocked it, but my understanding is it's at least stopped for now. So that's big doings right there. Hey, before I go into the next topic, I got to tell you a couple things here. One is, be aware, we got some great guests coming up in the next few days. Tomorrow, I expect at 3 o'clock to have State Senator Arthur Orr, who has been on the show many times before, to talk about some things that are going on to include the possibility of tax relief during the next session. And then at 4 o'clock tomorrow, we've got a national guest coming on. You may have seen him on Fox News and other national programs. His name is Corey DeAngelis. We had him on once before. Corey DeAngelis works for American Federation for Children, and he is a huge nationally known school choice advocate. We'll have him on here at 4 o'clock tomorrow. And then next Tuesday, we are scheduled to have Senator Tommy Tuberville on the show. So, yeah, be aware. We got some guests coming up. You're going to want to hear those interviews. Hey, last thing before I jump into number two of the Triple Dipper, I got to tell you, folks, if you haven't seen it, ZLA Solutions, they've been with this show since back when we first started off. They've been with us all along. I was with those guys this morning. Just had, I think it was their biggest month ever last month. What do? ZLA Solutions, they're there for all kinds of business-related solutions for you. They can help with logistics, warehousing. They can help you with quality control, sorting and containment, all that kind of stuff. Their bread and butter, staffing. So if you personally are looking for a job, you can go to their website, zlausa.com. You'll find jobs posted all over the state of Alabama right now, good ones. And they got a lot of them out of state, too, for that matter. But if you're also an employer looking to fill out the ranks of your workforce, then, yeah, zlausa.com. Start the relationship with them. They can help you staff blue-collar, white-collar, no-collar. It don't matter. They can do onesies and twosies, special, you know, niche kind of skills, or just fill out a whole shift full of workers for your plant. Doesn't matter. Just check them out. ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. All right, number two of the Triple Dipper. Controlling the narrative. I mean, wow. How about the fact that the vast majority of Americans now, at one study I saw from Pew Institute said that I think it was 71% of all Americans get their news off Twitter alone. And that a high level, to that degree, get theirs off of some form of social media. Now, I hope that doesn't mean they're just reading somebody's interpretation. I hope what they're saying is they're going there and they're finding the links, you know, like trending stories, actually reading stories that people link to a post. But all that to say, people less and less are looking for a news source and looking mainly for a link to a news source. they go to the aggregators like, you know, Bongino Report or Drudge or whatever, and they find stories categorized in different sections and they go read. Anyway, all that to say is this. If you have the platform that carries those stories to the vast majority of Americans, and you choose to make it hard to find certain kinds of stories, but you choose to also advance other kinds of stories, what have you done? You've just influenced a huge section of the populace. Now, some would say, well, it's not illegal. I mean, heck, they own the software. They built the platform. It's theirs. It's the private sector. You're always about the private sector, Phil. Yes, I am. However, I am not for what I would call PSYOPs, psychological operations, on U.S. personnel. I am not for the idea that just because you can, you should. Do we have a legal issue? Maybe, depending upon how they did it. Do we have a moral, ethical issue? Certainly. Certainly we do. Because what we are finding out now behind the scenes is that the staff at Twitter, for instance, we know for a fact now that they were literally making internal decisions to suppress certain stories and to suppress certain trending and to suppress certain accounts. Why? Because it benefited a leftist narrative to do so. Now, okay, Phil, that mean people can get their news elsewhere? Certainly they can. But when you already know you've established yourself as the new version of the public square, when you realize that people have become more motivated to go to your source, and you choose to make that source supposedly transparent and free from any suppression, and yet you do just the opposite. Or what about this? What about if there's a campaign for public office and they call you and they want certain stories dismissed or suppressed because it hurts their campaign? And you do it. Have you just, in essence, given an in-kind contribution to that campaign? We're finding out now the Biden campaign did that quite a bit. Now, I am told the Trump campaign may have asked for some too. But even Elon Musk is saying the vast preponderance of what was done for Democrats. And we're also finding now, though, that actors within government were actually doing this in a variety of ways. We're finding out now that the FBI was meeting with social media big tech employees on a weekly basis to help with what they called warnings against hack and dump and misinformation. And that the community of the big techers needed an excuse, and this gave them all the CYA they needed. And they literally said, well, you know. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg has admitted it. He was on the Joe Rogan podcast. He admitted it. There's no question. Don't try, Phil, you're spinning that. No, I'm not. I'm telling you what he said. Mark Zuckerberg said that the decisions that they were making were in part because of the information they were getting from the FBI. What about the CDC? Oh, we're finding out now, and I'll read that to you in a moment in another article. The CDC literally had access to a portal at Twitter where they could submit things for consideration because they were concerned about COVID misinformation. Really? Really? Yeah. So, yeah, the bottom line is this. It's that song that I quote all the time. I knew he probably didn't. You know what? I don't know. Boomer, is John Mayer, is he a liberal or a conservative? I'm betting he's a liberal. What do you think? Yeah. Yeah. I think your mic's on, buddy.
Yeah, that would be my guess. Yeah. I'll look it up real quick.
Okay. Yeah. John Mayer, liberal. I bet you're going to find that he is. I think I heard one time that he was dating Jennifer Aniston or whatever, and he broke up with her by text. That doesn't say much about his manhood, I'll be honest with you. What are you saying?
It says, Mayer is a Democrat, but clearly not overly liberal. So I don't know what that
okay.
really means. So we'll see.
Well, maybe he's
but
a
But then another one says, he's pretty liberal.
Well, anyway, he's got a song called, one of his first hits, called Waiting on the World to Change. And in that song, he talks about basically like TV and media outlets. And it says, when you own the information, oh, you can bend it all you want. And they do. And that's what's been happening. And we're finding the proof now I mean, if Elon Musk had not spent $44 billion, would we have ever had these smoking guns in our hands? What do you think, bud?
Nope. I don't think so. I mean, it's exactly the way you named it. The whole thing is, you know, when you have all that information and all that power of sending it out via the internet or via all this technology now that everybody gets their information from, that's what they look at. So that's the power right there. Right
and
now.
It's one thing to say, like, this is a conservative show. We don't make any bones about it.
Right.
You're going to call this show or listen to this show, and you're going to get the conservative viewpoint. Twitter portrays itself as the subjective objective. Basically, they call the balls and strikes. No, they don't.
They say they do, yes. And that's why everybody's like, oh, this must be right.
Yeah.
This must be correct.
It was trending on Twitter. It must be real. Yeah. And people were eating Tide Pods at the same time. Great.
Awesome.
So, we're finding out right now that the Twitter staff, the Facebook staff, and by the way, you saw what happened to Parler. Remember Parler? It was that thing that was about to happen.
Yeah, and then it just disappeared.
Wasn't it like, kind of. Do you remember, Boomer, was it when Parler first announced, was it like the most downloaded app in the nation over a weekend?
I would have to look at the exact stats, but I believe it was. I remember it was like, oh, man, this is going to be the new thing. It's going to be free speech of every kind. Just, you know, yeah. And then where'd it go?
It went away.
It went away.
Why? Because the people that own the information know they can bend it all they want. They can also deplatform your raggedy self if they want to. Oh, and they did. They just literally. So I think that was Amazon or Google that deplatformed them. And I think it was Google took them out of the Play Store so they couldn't download the app. Amazon dropped them off their platform so they suddenly weren't in existence anymore because they couldn't be hosted by Amazon platforms. And basically, they Parler was crushed overnight. And I think litigation ensued, but I don't remember how it worked out. All right, listen, we come right back from this. I'm going to be jumping on some stories. I've got a stack of them right here. Controlling the narrative. Well, listen, some of it you know, like Elon Musk, and others maybe you don't know. Like, did you know the CDC was communicating directly to Twitter too? It probably doesn't surprise you, but it's a heck of a thing to see it in writing. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, so here's the first story I've got for you. Foxnews.com, dated December 7th. That would be yesterday. Elon Musk tells Jack Dorsey important Twitter files were hidden from the bosses and suggests some were deleted. So if you're not familiar, Jack Dorsey is the old, he's one of the originators. He's the original boss at Twitter. Jack Dorsey left or resigned from his position, I guess, like a year or two ago. Musk, of course, is there now. Musk bought it. And all this stuff about suppression at Twitter, what we're finding out now is that some of this was being done without Jack Dorsey even knowing it, according to Elon Musk. So, yeah, Twitter head Elon Musk informed his predecessor Jack Dorsey on Wednesday, that'd be yesterday, that some of the most important data was kept hidden from him and suggested that some may have also been deleted. Musk fired Twitter's deputy general counsel Jim Baker on Tuesday after it was brought to his attention that Baker had vetted the first installment of the so-called Twitter files shared by Substack journalist Matt Taibbi last week without his knowledge. Let me back up and give you the lay of the land here in case you haven't heard. Here's the deal. Twitter's general counsel was Jim Baker. Jim Baker was hired having been previously one of the chief legal counsels for the FBI. Oh, by the way, he was involved in the FBI's Russia collusion 2016 garbage. And when he left the FBI, he got hired by Twitter. Well, daggum. I guess we're looking at the fox guarding the hen house now, aren't we? And so Jim Baker, apparently Elon Musk came in with the intent to go ahead and clean house, set up a new shop, put the new rules in order, and show the world what had been happening, except Elon Musk, I don't know why he kept Jim Baker. He should have known better. But except we just find out now that right before those first dump of files were sent out to be showing the world what happened behind closed doors, Jim Baker got in and apparently scrubbed them, trying to remove any references to the FBI. Why? Because he had been at the FBI. That's why. And so, what the heck? So, yeah, story here says, if the goal is transparency and trust, this is what Jack Dorsey did on Twitter to Elon Musk. If the goal is transparency to build trust, why not just release everything without the filter and let people just judge for themselves, including all discussions around current and future actions, make everything public now, Dorsey wrote on Wednesday. Musk replied back to him. This is very interesting that they're tweeting to each other on this. Most important data was hidden from you too, and some may have been deleted, but everything we find will be released. Anyway, it's so interesting. I mean, when Tybee is one of the reporters that Musk has chosen to give all this stuff to develop the stories, Tybee said when he realized that the guy who was screening this stuff and then getting it to them was Jim Baker, he says, my jaw hit the floor, Tybee wrote. Baker is a controversial figure. Says he's been involved with FBI controversies dating back to 2016, from the Steele dossier to the Alpha server mess. He resigned in 2018 after an investigation into leaks to the press. Oh, okay, so he resigned because of constant leaks to the press from the FBI. The news that Baker was the one reviewing the Twitter files surprised everyone, to say the least. New Twitter chief Elon Musk acted quickly to exit Baker on Tuesday. Well, Fox News has a follow-up story today. Stay tuned, say House GOP. They hint at potential legal action against ex-Twitter lawyer who suppressed the Hunter Biden story. So, all right, it's coming. It's coming. More to come, but it's coming. Well, so all of this, by the way, it's not just about the Hunter Biden story. It's about shaping the narratives. So I'm not going to stick just with Hunter Biden. That's one of the things we're finding out was the most egregious. Some people believe that actually steered the election in Joe Biden's favor because it was such a narrow result that there's strong belief that if people had really been allowed the opportunity to understand the depth to which Hunter Biden was such a freaking mess and had compromised his own father, and perhaps his father had compromised himself, that perhaps his father would not now be president. But that's not the only story. There's multiple stories. There's the COVID narrative. There's things like making sure that census data is shaped. There's things like, here's a story. The Federalist has a piece that I'm going to get into more right after the break, but the Federalist has a piece that came out yesterday. It says, with the FBI supervisor's admission of the Fed's synergy with big tech, the idea of the private company defense is dead. What we're saying here is, these are all private companies, but when they're working hand in hand with government to do their stuff, are they really still private, or are they just an arm of the government at that point? And do they lose the ability to continue claiming the right to privacy and all of that when the government was allowed to basically take control of the narrative through their platforms? That's the question that has to be answered. When they're shaping the narrative with the insistence and the oversight of government actors, are they still really a private actor? And I'm not hearing anybody truly ask that question, but this Federalist article goes into it better than I've ever heard. And we get back from this break, I'm going to break that down for you. We'll continue the next piece, the next section here with this piece I'm doing right now about controlling the narrative. And then as we get down further in the show, you're going to want to hear the last segment of the day. Woke is as woke does. Oh, man. Things are starting to get uncovered, and I'm loving some of the smack back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national. We cover down on all of the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, by the way, the text lines are going strong. If you have not texted in before, go ahead and try it. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. And when you do the very first time, just text in the word right side. It's all one word, right side. And you'll get an automatic message back that says, hey, welcome to the, you know, to the show, Right Side Ruffian, and give us your first name and where you're from. We'll put you in the system. Glad to have some new texters. Barry from Fultondale is texting in, and Roy from Huntsville. So welcome to you both. Appreciate that very much. And yeah, so we got hundreds of people in the text system right now. So join on in. By the way, that same number, 833-687-4448, that's also our call-in line. It works both ways, calling and texting. So you're welcome to call the show, too, if you want to comment on something we're talking about. I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper, controlling the narrative. So I got a story here from The Federalist, dated yesterday's date. It's titled, The FBI Supervisor's Admission of the Fed's Synergy with Big Tech, the Private Company Defense is Dead. What they're saying there, what I was saying right before the top of the hour, is that literally when you have this much collaborative effort to shape a narrative between the government and the major industry that puts the narrative out, it's almost as if that major private sector industry is actually an arm of the government. Are they still a private company? Well, I mean, they're allowed to keep their profits, I guess, but they sure seem to be acting on behalf of government. Story here says, the piece says here, the FBI successfully meddled in the 2020 election via an influence operation that pushed big tech platforms such as Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube to suppress certain information online, putting to bed defenses that tech giants can suppress whatever speech they want because they're private companies, not government actors. Confirmation of this meddling came during a deposition. That's sworn testimony, y'all. A deposition with FBI Supervisory Special Agent Elvis Chan, which stemmed from a big tech censorship lawsuit that Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt had filed. All right, so here's the deal. In his testimony, this guy Chan from the FBI admitted under oath that intelligence agencies such as the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, the Department of Homeland Security, and the FBI hosted weekly meetings, with big tech ahead of the 2020 election in an attempt to encourage censorship. Chan himself was present and gave direction at most of these meetings. Now, some may say the words encourage censorship is an opinion as opposed to a fact, but when you look at what they were doing and then knowing how the results were coming, I guarantee you, if they went in there and said, Hunter Biden laptop, y'all be careful. I mean, it has all the hallmarks of a Russian disinformation campaign. May or may not have been a hack, you know. Sourcing says that may have been a hack. When they do that, and the next week, the Hunter Biden story disappears, and then they don't go back to the next weekly meeting and go, hey, fellas, we didn't say take it down. Oh, no, they didn't do that, did they? You know, they might say, we weren't trying to shape the narrative. We were just trying to be cautious. We got to watch out. I mean, there's people out there from China and Russia, big, you know, giant server farms that are hacking into our systems. Yeah, they are. They are. But Mr. FBI man, Mr. Department of Homeland Security dude, you know, lady from the, what, Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency, when y'all sit down in a meeting and you as big government law enforcement officials look at the techies and say, hey, you know, just be aware, you might want to be careful of this, wink, wink, nod, nod. And they're not only careful of it, but it disappears off those platforms so that nobody can see them anymore. Your role at that point should be either to go back and go, hey, we didn't mean to do that. Or we should just go ahead and clarify that was your intent all along. Chan tries to deny it, But he cannot deny it because it revealed later on that Facebook's CEO Mark Zuckerberg told Joe Rogan in August of this year that literally big tech had collectively stifled the spread of the Hunter Biden sketchy overseas business dealings. And Zuckerberg admitted it was the FBI's regular suppression instructions that inspired Facebook to do so. So all we're looking at here is a shaping of the narrative. There's no easy way out of this for the government agencies that we're meeting. And by the way, do I have any problem with government meeting with private sector? No, we do it all the time. I mean, there's always something to look at and go, public-private partnership, I get it. This is not economic development, though. This is shaping the narrative of an election. This is making sure the people can't see something. This is defeating the idea of transparency. This is destroying communications. This is conducting psyops. You now have government officials helping in collaboration with the big tech to conduct psyop operations on the American public. And that's wrong. But it doesn't just stop there. There's other opportunities here. How about this one? Story from the Daily Caller, dated yesterday. Here's how the CDC used a back channel with Twitter to control the COVID-19 narrative. Oh, boy. It says Twitter set up a portal for government officials and stakeholders to submit posts that allegedly contained COVID-19 misinformation for Twitter to review, according to documents released this week by the America First legal team. Good God, it never ends. I mean, remember this, y'all, can you think back during COVID when it became this thing that you were not allowed to talk about something like ivermectin or monoclonal antibodies, or you were not allowed to talk about alternative treatments? You were never allowed to talk about not getting the vaccine. No. Well, Twitter officials used the portal to track online posts for review and invited Centers for Disease Control and Prevention officials to enroll. And it says on here that in one particular case, Twitter's Todd O'Boyle enrolled the CDC's Carol Crawford in the portal in May of 2021 after she sent an email labeled COVID misinformation with links to several Twitter posts who wrote about things like microchip chips and vaccine shedding. O'Boyle described the channel as the best way to get a spreadsheet like this reviewed. What is that saying? Hey, here's your fast lane. We're going to give you a special pass. You log in this way, and we'll see it. At one point, this Carol Crawford from the CDC also asked for the Census Department officials to be able to use Twitter so they could flag COVID-19. Census Department. Why? Because the Census Department was being enlisted by the Biden administration to encourage people to get the shot. Says here, Gene Hamilton, America's first legal vice president and general counsel, says, in recent months, millions of Americans have witnessed the peeling of the misinformation onion. And beneath each layer of shocking details about a partnership between the federal government and big tech is yet another layer of connections, conspiracy, and collaboration between power centers that seek to suppress information from the American people. Yes, all that. But how about this? Is it just us? Are we the only ones? No. Have you seen what's happening right now with getting the word out in China? I mean, so you've got right now Apple. Just last week, I mentioned a story. Apple has basically removed the opportunity for AirDrop. And if you're not an iPhone user, that's the ability to share files like phone to phone. Like you don't have to go online and download it. Somebody can take a video and they can quickly, before the secret police grab their phone and delete it, they can quickly AirDrop it to somebody else's phone and it begins to spread like wildfire. Boom, 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 boom. It's AirDropping phone to phone to phone. Oh, except that Apple removed the ability to do AirDrop in China, just in China. They sent out, you know how they do the updates? And by the way, I've gotten to where I almost hate updates because something always changes on my phone whenever. I wake up in the morning and my phone is different. Why? Because someone somewhere had to update something. And now instead of going up and down, my phone has to go left to right or something crazy. It's like, why? What was that even necessary for? Anyway, all that to say, I sound like an old man. Boomer's laughing at me. Don't laugh at the old guy, Boomer.
Hey, it's okay. I mean I understand that, but they just want to change it so that you keep coming back for more.
I will have you know. Yesterday I was so proud of myself.
Oh yes, please.
My music streaming app stopped working. I deleted the app, downloaded the app again, and it refreshed, and I was able to work.
Oh, up top.
I felt like the man.
That's awesome.
I literally gained 10 years of my life when that happened. All right, back to my story. You're patronizing me right now, by the way. You know you are.
No, I was truly happy for you.
Oh, my gosh. YouTube. Is YouTube in on this, too? Yes, YouTube is in on this, too. In China, Newsbusters has a story dated yesterday. YouTube censored footage of anti-CCP protests with age restrictions and demonetization. What? Yes. Here's the deal. There's a couple of YouTube shows. YouTube censored one called the China Show podcast, which was covering the massive anti-Chinese Communist Party protests going on in China. So what happened? Two guys named Matt Tai and Winston Sturzel, they were some of the first YouTubers to have their podcast kind of go viral in China. What did YouTube do? YouTube suddenly did what's called age-restricting it and made it required to basically log in to be able to use it. Well, most YouTube users don't log in. They use whatever's free on YouTube. And age restriction also means that suddenly you can't see it unless you can certify you're a certain age, which means you also have to log in. So basically what it does is it crushes the show. Sturzel said, yeah, when YouTube age restricts a video, it kills it. He explained that YouTube's age restriction not only prevents people under a certain age from viewing it, but it prevents anyone who is not logged in to account from viewing it, and also then you cannot share it. So what they did was they made it extremely difficult for the ability of others like this podcaster to share on YouTube what was happening with the protests in China. Pray tell, why would they do that? Probably because YouTube was collaborating with the Chinese government. Why else would they do it? Yeah. All right, folks, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back. I'll wrap this up. Did you know, by the way, your State Department, has a team focused on disinformation that still regularly meets with big tech companies? Yeah, the State Department. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Saving the world, one soundbite at a time. Hey, I'm in this section of the Triple Dipper called Controlling the Narrative. Before I do that, though, I got to tell you, Just Love Coffee Cafe, two locations in our listening area. Oh, man, they're good ones, too. One on Hughes Road in Madison out towards City Hall. The other one on South Parkway in Huntsville. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, Just Love Coffee has got an amazing menu. So when you're headed in tomorrow morning, here's an idea. If you're a biscuit eater, all right, you're one of those like many of us who stop in to get the biscuit on the way into the office. Maybe it's time for something a little bit different. Maybe you stop by Just Love Coffee at one of those locations I just told you about, Hughes Road in Madison, South Parkway in Huntsville, and you roll on in there and you get a womlet. That's a giant omelet made in a waffle iron. It contains everything, even has tater tots in it, or maybe you get. You know, one of their good cookings or their waffles or anything else for that matter, and a cup of cappuccino. And it's like, man, it's a whole new day. And you're going to the office with a different perspective. Why? Because you stopped by Just Love Coffee Cafe before you went in. I'm just telling you, it's worth it. Check it out. Just Love Coffee Cafe, two locations, Hughes Road in Madison, South Parkway in Huntsville. And please tell them when you get there, you heard about it on Right Side Radio. All right, I am in number two of the Triple Dipper, Controlling the Narrative. It's basically been a PSYOP operation. That article I read earlier, if you heard it from the Federalist, was spot on. When you've got government actors steering the narrative through the private sector companies, can the private sector companies no longer claim that they're an arm of the government? Can they maintain that they are allowed to have full privacy and not the transparency that public organizations are required to have? Well, I'm just going to be honest with you. It's not right. When you're psyoping the American people in a coordinated effort, and there are state actors helping you to do that or guiding you in doing that, it is as wrong as the day is long. Here's another one. Did you know the State Department team focused on disinformation meets regularly with big tech companies? Here's a story from the Epoch Times. All right. Epoch Times dated yesterday. A State Department team that is focused on misinformation and disinformation, because apparently they're different, meets regularly with big tech companies, including Twitter and Facebook, an official said in a recent deposition. So Daniel Kimmage, the principal deputy coordinator of the department's Global Engagement Center, said the team would exchange information during meetings, including providing social media firms with details on how foreign actors such as Russia and China promote propaganda and disinformation. Allegedly, the Global Engagement Center of the U.S. State Department was set up with a mission of countering foreign propaganda and disinformation. Sounds reasonable. Want to keep them out of there. Except that they began to help steer the narrative on things that were purely domestic. Things like, I don't know, censorship and content modulation on issues like election integrity, vaccine COVID misinformation, and other related subjects, according to an updated complaint by attorneys generals of Missouri and Louisiana. Yeah, so there you see, what's happened here is a word got out. Someone in the halls of government, someone deep in the bowels of government, realized they had a good thing going. Hey, man, listen, over here at this department, we've been talking to the big tech folks. Have y'all talked to them? You need to talk to them. Dude, they will work with you. No. Don't worry about Trump. Don't worry about that. Just go do what you got to do, man. Preserve the narrative. You know what I'm saying? And that's what they've been doing. Well, you know, it's interesting to me, too. They have oversight boards. Facebook has one. Well, you know, Facebook's parent company is now called Meta. Meta. Facebook parent company Meta, according to the Epoch Times, dated yesterday. That's two in a row from Epoch Times. Facebook parent company Meta's oversight board, the quasi-independent body that advises the social media giant on content policy, has issued a report warning of flaws in the company's own cross-check system that gives more leeway to high-profile users to post violating content. So here's the bottom line. My takeaway from this is, why are there some people that are allowed to violate content rules and others are not? Because that's what the article is about. The article is saying, you know, it appears, guys, you kind of been letting certain people have permissions to do things we don't normally allow. Why are we doing that? That's what's happened. The Oversight Board is informally dubbed Facebook's Supreme Court. It said in its policy advisory opinion that Meta says the cross-check program was set up to reduce the number of false positives and content over-enforcement by establishing a list of privileged entities, such as state actors, human rights organizations, and big companies that enjoy special treatment when it comes to content policing. Oh, so it's an uneven playing field. So Boomer and I, we can't get on there and say something, but yet some big company that's on the shiny list can. That's what I'm seeing. Enough of that. You get my point? Big tech and government are working together hand in glove, and they're psyoping the American public to control the narrative. Drives me crazy. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming right back, number 3, woke is as woke does. We'll be right back.